on behalf of St. Paul's United Jumated Homes, if there are family members home visiting for the holidays, glad you made it home safely. And for anyone who may be traveling over this Christmas time, certainly safe travels to you as people are busy visiting and checking in with relatives and so on. So this morning, again, a warm welcome to each of you. Today we have our choir presenting the Christmas cantata. And following the service, as usual, there will be refreshments served in the community hall. And all are welcome to stay, and you can access the hall by exiting one of these two doors and crossing the atrium. So please, if you're able after the service, stay for that time. In your order of service, you'll see this announcements insert. And so just a couple of reminders. First of all, our Christmas Eve services are at 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, and a brief description of each service is on the announcements insert. Also, I just want to make note that the floors are being stripped and waxed throughout the community building and over the next few days, and so we need individuals who are able to come and help with moving a bit of furniture. The more, the merry as you can be, moving furniture, but actually, certainly it makes it a lot easier for folks when there's a group together. So there is a sign-up sheet with the times, and I'm grateful that many people have signed up, but certainly more are welcome to help out. And if you've signed up and maybe forgotten that you signed up, I'm reminding you. So just have a look on the list and see if your name is there, because maybe somebody added it for you. You never know. But and if you're able to make it out one of those times to help with that, I know it means a great deal to our regular volunteers when we can get that little extra push to get something like this completed. Also, out in the atrium on the table are the offering envelopes for for the year 2020. That's starting in January, hard to believe, a new decade. But those offering envelopes are available for pickup. So please check and see if there are envelopes there with your name on it. And if there aren't, then you can go see our Rick, right? And Rick would be more than happy to set you up with a set of envelopes. So please have a look, and we'll get that taken care of for you. And through the Christmas season, and because of the floors being done, there will be no coffee time this Saturday morning. If anything, that'll give you a chance to not eat more cookies, you know, for at least a couple of minutes through this holiday season. But this Friday, there won't be a coffee time. So please don't have that on your calendar for this week. And you'll notice all of these beautiful poinsettias that are in our sanctuary this morning, due to the generosity of many who made memorial gifts in memory of the individuals whose names are printed on this blue insert. And I know that Myra, you have, where are you, Myra? Myra, you have a few directions around how these poinsettias will be distributed to those who have purchased them in memory.
Is it on? Oh, good Lord. Good morning. On behalf of the worship committee, thank you very much. And as Dale said, for all of you who have donated in memory of loved ones and friends, thank you very much. Now, with today, all the plants around, you have your choice of taking them today, or you can wait until Christmas Eve for your 4, 7, or 9 o'clock service. Just know that the sleeves are still on the plants so that you will be able to cover them up. There's also names on there, so all the names, the last names are on all these plants, so just go look around for your name. They're all there, and they're all beautiful, so we thank you so much. And if you don't have or want the plant, please take it to somebody who can have the joy that you would have for Christmas with these plants, because as Dale said, next week, nobody will be here to really take care of these plants. So thank you on behalf of the worship again.
Thank you, Myra. Before we continue in our worship this morning, are there any other announcements that people may have to share? Okay. And we will proceed with our lighting of the Advent candle of love. Come into this place, come into this season of Advent, Come and make room to receive the gift of Christmas. Come and see how God prepares a place for love to be born anew. We dream God's dream of a world where love is expected even when hatred is busy building walls and creating division, even when fear causes people to hold back and hide away. Love is still possible, reaching out, building new relationships, new life, and new possibilities. Mary sang of God's love for her. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Like Mary, may God grant us the grace of faith to receive this love in our lives. Love in the face of fear. Love when others choose to vilify. Love that is given without condition. A love that never gives up on people. A love that lays down life for the sake of another. A love that is stronger than death. A love that never ends. May this flame burn with the love God has for all people. May we be drawn to its light, knowing the light of the world will soon come among us as one of us, as Emmanuel, which means God with us. The kingdom of God is drawing near. May we prepare our hearts for the day of the Lord. Let us pray. Everlasting and loving God, gathered in this place today, we acknowledge that you are at work in our lives and in this world. In this time and space, we ask for the grace to take a break from our busy thoughts and a busy world. We have come in search of Jesus and his way. We pray that we might know how much you love us. We know that we have done things and have had things done to us that have caused us to shy away or feel undeserving of this love. So with these things in mind, we ask for your mercy and grace. As we gather, as we worship, as we sing and pray together, may we seek and speak the love you desire for us, the love that helps us to rise above our circumstances and frees us to love and serve others. For this is the love you give us in Christ, the one in whose name we pray. Amen. So this morning, before our choir sings for us, just If I say these words a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, what comes to mind? Star Wars, right? That's the opening frame, you know, for every Star Wars movie. So, you know, think over this past week now, how many people have lined up in movie theaters to see those words again on the screen? It's hard to imagine that it's been 42 years, right, since the first Star Wars movie entered into theaters, and now they're in the last of the series, or at least they say it's the last, right? But who could have imagined 42 years ago that this weekend, not only parents, but grandparents would be taking grandchildren to see a Star Wars movie, right? But, you know, you think about that, and I think about that in terms of the Christmas story. Because I wonder often, you know, if those who had gathered around the manger, as we hear it told in Luke's gospel, how many of those people who were present when Jesus was born, how many of them would have thought that for generations and for generations, people would be remembering and telling this story? You know, it's what we do as Christians. It's really what we're called to do at this time of year. Yeah, you know, and it's been retold in so many different ways. You know, I was thinking back just over this past month how many times I have encountered a retelling of the story of the birth of Christ. I started doing some counting because we had our nativity last weekend that our young people put on here at St. Paul's. Earlier in the month, I had been at the On the Way to Bethlehem retelling of the nativity story. I had been invited to an East Indian Orthodox congregation, and their young people had retold the story. I know at the Casa de Pan, the Hispanic-speaking congregation that meets here, they had a retelling of the story. There was a Mandarin congregation I had visited, they retold the story. And you know, so often in all those stories, it's very similar. You know, you have shepherds in bathrobes, and you have, you know, the wise ones who don't necessarily look like they're all that wise, but they're there anyways, and so on. You know, and a Mary and Joseph who really aren't sure they want to be there together, but they're there. And you know, for each of those, you know, expressions, you know, those who retell the story, it really is, you know, it's their story that they're telling, right? And I think that is one of the beautiful things about the Christmas story and why it is so powerful, is because we see it retold in so many places by so many people in so many ways, that we know that this is not just my story or your story, that this truly is God's story. Because it's way bigger than any one of us. Right? You know, in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says that, you know, the cross of Christ to the Greeks, it is foolishness, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And he's referring to the cross of Christ, but I really do believe that as we think of the birth of Christ, that we can say the very same thing, that the power of God is at work in this story in a way, you know, that spans time and generations and cultures and languages, because it has much to say to us about who God is. You know, there's a theologian at Yale University, his name was Hans Frey, and he used to refer to the Bible, he described the Bible as being an identity description of God, right? You want to know who God is? Read the scriptures. And he would say, you know, if you really want to know who Christ is, you read the Gospels. And so, you know, as we engage the Gospels, what we start to see is who God is. And this is something, you know, for us to consider, who God is. And it is an important thing for us to consider, because there can be a struggle for us. You know, often when someone says to me, for example, that they don't believe in God, I often ask them to describe the God it is they do not believe in, because, you know, chances are I don't believe in that God either. But you know, when it comes to the God made known in Christ, right, we encounter a different kind of theology. You know, a God who seeks to be made known in a multitude of ways. And we even get this in the scriptures, you know, because we have four gospels, right? And, you know, the gospels aren't uniform. Each of them has something different to say about who God is. And I think that's a beautiful thing. They're not contradictory. They actually remind us that God speaks to people of different, in different contexts. And has something to say. You know, if Christ was born for all, it's because Christ can speak to all. For example, in John's gospel, are you familiar with these words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Right? And refers to the Word as the light of the world. Right? Are you familiar with those words from John's gospel? Because you see, those harken back to the Genesis story, to the creation story at the beginning of the Bible, where it says, in the beginning, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That God spoke over the waters of creation. The Word of God spoke, and God said, let there be light. So, you know, in the beginning of John's gospel, right, Jesus is equated to the God of creation. Right, the God of the cosmos, the God who brings order to chaos, the God who brings light into darkness, the God who seeks to connect us to creation. And then we have, you know, the God made known in the Nativity story in Luke. And that's the story a lot of us are familiar with. You know, we heard the story of Mary's Magnificat after she had the angelic announcement to her. Right, this story in Luke's gospel is the story of a God who doesn't work in the big urban center. You know, God isn't announced in Jerusalem, where the temple is. The birth of the Savior is announced to a young woman, a maiden, in a far-off town called Nazareth. And God is born in a little village on the other side of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. So you see, the Gospel of Luke presents us with an image of God, of a God who works in the marginalized, those who are away from far centers, those who aren't necessarily so important. God's in those people. Right? So it's another theology, another expression of who God is in Christ. And then we have Matthew's story of Jesus' birth. How many people here are familiar with Matthew's story of Jesus' birth? Are you familiar with it? Nod your head if you are. So when there's no Mary's barely mentioned, right, in Matthew's account. In Matthew's account, we hear at the beginning that Joseph learns that Mary is pregnant and they're not yet married, so Joseph is going to dismiss her quietly. Right, but instead, an angelic visitor visits Joseph in a dream. Says, "No, the son that Mary is carrying, or the child that Mary is carrying, is of the Holy Spirit, and you will call him Jesus because he's going to save people of their sins." So Joseph decides to not dismiss Mary and continues in their relationship. Actually, you know, it says a lot about, in terms of Joseph being a model of fatherhood and to be that supportive husband in the relationship. And there's other things that go on in Matthew's gospel. You have Herod's edict, you know, that to slaughter all the children under two because he hear a new king's going to be born. And it's in Matthew's gospel where we have the visit of the wise men, of the magi who come to the Christ child. Because you see, Matthew's gospel talks about a God who's not interested in power and prestige and those who seek to use those things to oppress others. And we have this image of a God who was born to save people from their shame. You know, it's another image, another understanding of who God is in the scriptures. And then there's another gospel, the Gospel of Mark. You know what the Gospel of Mark has to say about for the beginning, for what it has to say? Because, you know, we've got John's and we've got Luke's and we've got Matthew's. Well, I just want to focus on Mark for a moment because to me it's probably my most favorite introduction to a gospel. All it says is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's all Mark says. Because ultimately, that's what this story is, right? The story that we remember, the story that we recount in so many different ways. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is a good news story. That's why the power of God's in it, because it's good. And it's why people turn to this story and listen to this story again and again. Yes, to echo what Paul said, there are those who will hear of the Christmas story and see it as being foolishness, but to those who are being saved, this is the power of God. Because God knows we need goodness. Because God knows that in spite of all of the changes that go on in the world, and think of all of the changes, you know, time changes, the seasons change. You know, we change as we get older. The economy changes, government changes, climate changes, and so on. People never change. Human beings have been the same for a very, very long time. And human beings have always hoped for, have always sought things like justice and peace, that we've always been on this quest for hope and for love, to find a way forward for future generations and so on. Right? That's why we need this good story. Because in this good news, there is life. And I love the title of our cantata this morning, A New Life and a New Beginning. Because this is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light and said it was good. The light was a new beginning, and God created humankind in his own image, both male and female. God blessed them and gave them a new beginning. And God saw everything he made and beheld it very good. As time passed, however, the world fell into greed and began to worship false idols. God realized that now was the time to fulfill his prophecy. Time for a new birth, time for a new beginning. And God said, "I will send Jesus."
Thank you.
It was time to fulfill the ancient prophecies. It was time for God to send his Son to earth to live and to give all humankind a new beginning. So God sent an angel to appear before Mary, saying, "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women."
Mary became great with child, and Mary believed. She believed in the message the angels brought from God, and she trusted in God. She began a new life as a servant of the Lord, and brought forth a new birth, a new beginning.
Do not fear.
Who is there? Who is there? This voice in darkness, so I'm so afraid. What is it now that I must know? Yes, I hear your voice from deep within my heart. What is this message now that you impart?
Fear not, Mary, O favored chosen one. The Lord is with you, and you shall bear a son. Son of the Highest, Jesus is his name. Exalted his kingdom, endless is his reign.
I am the servant of the Lord, and I am among the women blessed. I'll not fear what comes to pass. The very Son of God is here at last. He will do many great and mighty things, and holy his name shall ever be. I am blessed with holy child. My soul does magnify his name adored. For I shall ever humbly be the servant of the Lord.
You are blessed that I humbly rejoice. Your soul and spirit in mind and voice. In you his favor finds holiest accord.
My steadfast you soul shall does magnify the Lord.
You are the servant of the Lord,
and I am among the women blessed.
I'll not fear what comes to pass. The Son of God is here at last. He will do many great and mighty things,
and holy
his name shall ever be. You are blessed with holy child. Magnify his name adored.
For I shall ever humbly be the servant of the Lord.
holy child, my soul does magnify his name adored. For I shall ever only be the servant of the Lord. For I shall ever
shall be the servant of the Lord.
As required by the laws of the time, Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to be taxed. Upon entering the city, they could find no room in which to rest after their tiring journey. An innkeeper, seeing Mary great with child, offered them shelter in a tiny stable which had been carved into the side of a hill.
It was here that the Son of God was born, not in a palace, not with mighty armies standing to protect him, nor a golden carriage to safely carry him home. This, too, was a sign of a new beginning. Here was born a king for all people, not just for the powerful and the rich, not just for those who seek fame and glory, but for all people in every country and for all eternity.
The Son of God, Savior, Prince of Peace, a new birth, a new beginning, the glory of the Word was revealed, just as God had promised. The same night that Jesus was born, angels appeared to the shepherds in the fields overlooking Bethlehem. The shepherds were confused and very afraid, but the angel rejoiced and said, "Fear not, we bring you great news of the birth of your Savior, who was born in Bethlehem tonight. Go and find him, laying in a manger. Bow down and worship the newborn Christ."
And the shepherds ran to Bethlehem, excited in their anticipation and giving praise to God. When they arrived at the manger, they were touched by the sight of the Christ child and fell to their knees and worshiped the babe, for they believed in what they saw, what they felt, and what they knew. This was a new birth and a new beginning. This was the true Son of God, the promised Messiah, the Prince of Peace.
Stillness of the holy night, the stable became quiet, with Mary and the Christ child resting. It was time for them to reflect on all that had happened. It was a quiet celebration of thanks for the dawn of a new life, a new beginning, God's promise fulfilled.
Thank you.
The shepherds excitedly spread the good news throughout the countryside that promised Messiah had come. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her king and shout out from the mountaintops, Jesus Christ is born.
Jesus Christ was born indeed, God's gift of love incarnate. The world lay in silence and stillness as Mary sang her lullaby to the Christ child. The angels filled the heavens with song as a bright star shone down on the newborn babe.
That same star served as a compass for the visitation of wise men from the east. They were sent by King Herodon to investigate the excitement that was permeating his kingdom. They brought gifts for the newborn king, but they were awestruck when they disobeyed King Herod and never reported back to him about the birth of the new Messiah.
Truly, love came down to earth, God with us, Emmanuel, in a stable of straw.
Thank you.
And so today, we once again reflect on what the Christmas story offers us. We are challenged, as Mary was, to deepen our faith and to trust in God each day and to become a servant of the Lord.
We are required as the shepherds to overcome our fears and rejoice the birth of Christ as our Savior and to spread good news of the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ throughout the world.
We are humbled, as the wise men were, to be able to offer gifts and to worship our Messiah as the everlasting Prince of Peace. And we pray for the promised peace, peace among all people, and a perfect peace within each of us.
We celebrate Christmas as a new birth, new beginning, a new dawn, a redeeming grace, a new faith, a new promise, a new peace. Thanks to be God for the fulfillment of his promise, the birth of his son, and a new beginning for each of us.
Oh,
Just a thank you to our choir members, to Don, our director, to our readers back there, Aaron and Emily, thank you so much. The wonderful job. And to our musicians, to Don Brody and to Judy Hunter, and to Roseanne and to Lucy, thank you so much. Great to have you. Friends, as we support the life and the work of this church, let us now present our gifts before God as the offering is received. Be seated. Friends, let us gather ourselves in prayer. Let us bow our heads and breathe deeply as we pray together. Eternal and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our being, we give thanks not only for this season of Advent, of a season of waiting in which we are reminded that we indeed are ones who are called to wait. But through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are also reminded that you are a God who works in this world and in our lives to bring about newness and wonder. And so may our hearts be open to this newness and to this wonder as we prepare for the season of Christmas. May we allow this occasion to be the gift you intended it to be for us. And as we lift up our hearts with thanksgiving, we give thanks for so many great gifts that fill our lives. The gifts of music and song, the gifts of family and friends, the gift of good meals shared together, of simple gifts of food and shelter for those who love us, for unexpected blessings, for this country in which we get to live and share this gift of freedom, including the freedom to worship, O God, we offer our thanks. And we lift up our hearts this day, O God, with prayers for others. Prayers for ones in this world who do not have enough. Prayers for ones who are in need. Prayers for ones who are too ashamed to let others know that they are in need when they need help. For in Christ you come as one of us and you come among us because we are all ones in need of help sooner or later. Ones who indeed need the gifts of your love, your justice, your kindness, and your mercy, the gifts you share with us in Christ. And so we lift up prayers for those who do need these gifts, including ourselves. We pray for ones who do not have enough to eat, ones who are spending this season alone, ones who are in far-off lands, ones who live as refugees, ones who dwell in silence, ones who are dealing with a difficult medical diagnosis or mourning the loss of a loved one. And we pray for ones who, for this season, they bear difficult memories. For we know that you are with them too and promise to be with them as well, O God. And as we prepare to leave this place, this day, may our voices continue to lift up praise to you. Help us to be a people that truly rejoices and embraces the newness and the good news of Jesus Christ, your Son. For it is in his name that we pray, and we join our voices in his prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll join our voices singing the words of our closing hymn this day, Hark the Glad Sound, number 29 in the hymn book. us say together the words of sending forth. Let the love that shaped earth and heaven dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that created humanity dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that overcomes suffering and hatred dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that causes us to rejoice with loved ones dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that forgives and renews dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that brings reconciliation dwell within us this Christmas. Let the love that brings good news dwell within us this Christmas. And may we share this news with all people near and far. And as we leave this place today, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Amen.